One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Welcome, everybody, to season 4 of A Shot of Melanin. Wow, it has been crazy. Can you believe it's 4 season of this podcast? I am so excited and elated that we've come so far, you know, starting off on season 1. Season 1 was kind of rocky, I'm not going to lie. But here we are, season 4, and I am so excited. I'm sure we all want to address the elephant in the room, and that is, Mish, where's your co-host Brittany? Well, Brittany has gracefully bowed out of the podcast, and that's okay. That is totally fine. You know, life happens. She is now a mother of 2 kids, and she's got a lot on her plate. So I totally get it. I totally understand. And so we wish Brittany all the best. And Britt, if you're listening, there's always a spot for you here on the podcast if you want to talk about anything. So I kind of was on a holiday and I'm thinking about doing a little bit of changes on the podcast. I'm on TikTok, if you don't know, and you should definitely follow me there on TikTok. I do a lot of crazy, silly things. And, you know, at times I do post episode blippets on there. But I've found a lot of great artists and a lot of them are Canadian. And so I know this podcast is A Shot of Melanin, but I kind of want to have a segment each month, just drop one artist and a little snippet of one of my favorite songs from them. Now, I'm going to be honest with you, some of these artists will not all be black, and I just think that they are so dope and they have like such talent. So what I will do is once a month, starting actually in this season and continue on future season, just kind of try it out. Let's start off with once the first episode of each month, and you let me know how you like the changes to this podcast as I drop, songs, or maybe even they could be rappers for all I know. And just a little blippet about them and one of my favorite songs from them. Always send me your feedback because I do take them into account, and you can send me feedback on our Instagram page. So if you follow us, it's at A Shot of Melanin, all one words. You can send me a DM and let me know what you think of the new changes to the podcast. I feel like for season four, it's coming to the end of the new year, the end of this year, and we're going into the new year, and I just kind of wanted to spice things up. So let me know what you think by shooting me a message there. I'm also on TikTok. Like I said, you could DM me on TikTok as well. As you can tell, I'm losing my voice. So, long story short, dealing with kids. That's all I have to say. So, bear with me. I hope by the next episode, when I do my intro, that you guys will hear my voice again. Now, before we go into today's episode, as well as the artist and song of the month, let's take a moment to discuss music. Did you know that Amazon has music? That's right, you can stream your favorite artists on Amazon Music. What's even better is that you don't have to go to one application to go to another to listen to two different things. That's right, Amazon Music also has podcasts. So if you're on a road trip and you're listening to your favorite song and say, you know what? I want to listen to a podcast. You can do that all on Amazon Music. And guess what? I'm on Amazon Music. That's right. You can listen to A Shot of Melanin on Amazon Music. So check out Amazon Music for all your music needs as well as your podcast needs. And now let's get back to today's episode. So today's, or this month's, Artist of the Month is Layla Day. Now, I've been following Layla Day actually through TikTok. You know how TikTok works. You keep scrolling, and then you find something. You're like, wow, I think she was doing a song, I believe, in her car, and I was just taken by her voice. Wow, just amazing. And you know, once you go in, you kind of go through that rabbit hole where you just kind of continue to listen to their stuff. Well, Layla has been picked up to go on tour, I just saw recently, with the Jessie Reyez. So if you enjoy Layla, definitely go check out her music. She has an album on Spotify and Apple Music. I'm not sure about other platforms, but I did listen to them on both of those two platforms. But her album, Layla Day, is out, and you can definitely go take a listen to her voice. You can also go onto her TikTok and listen to her kind of sing like a cappella. She has an amazing voice. So definitely go check her out. She's from Toronto, guys. She is a fellow Torontonian like myself. Well, can I really call myself a Torontonian? I guess I can, since I've been here for quite a bit. Maybe not. But she's on tour, so if you enjoy her music, then definitely go support her. And also, if you're a Jessie Reyez fan, why not kill two birds with one stone? Buy a ticket. Go support her and as well as Jessie. So the whole point of these Artists of the Month as well as the Song of the Month was just to highlight Canadian artists. I find that as Canadians, we consume a lot of American artists, you know, whether it's Jay-Z, Beyonce, whether it's Kelly Rowland, you know, all those, Chris Brown, Usher, whoever. It's very much centered around US. And I kind of wanted to highlight this for my listeners around the world that Canada has some dope artists too. I mean, look, we generated Justin Bieber. We also generated Drake. And if you want to go way back, like, we're talking Shania Twain and Celine Dion, like the OGs. So just so that you know, we have some great artists here, and I think it's time that the world knew who these people are. So once a month, the first episode of each month, I will highlight a Canadian artist. Now, I'm not keeping it all melanated. I'm open to many other cultures, whether Black, Asian, but the premise is so that you know that Canada has some great artists here too. So we're going to get into a small snippet of Layla Day's song. One of my favorite songs on here is Passenger. So without further ado, here's Passenger by Layla Day.
Are you down with it? Down with it, baby. So pull up with it. I want you pull up with it, yeah, yeah, yeah. Are you cool with it? Cool with it, baby. Can you handle it?
Baby, can you handle
all of me? Yeah, that company. Yeah, that confidence. Yeah, that passenger seat. Yeah,
are you down?
I got somebody that's waiting. They wanna take me serious. You tend to keep me wondering. Are you for real? I'm curious.
Enjoying this song. This song is on serious replay, guys, and I'm hoping you enjoyed it too. So go follow Layla. She's on TikTok, Instagram. She's also on YouTube. She also has a website, and you can go stream her album again on Apple Music and Spotify, and go support her as she goes on tour with Jessie Reyez. And if you do go to the concert, hit me up and let me know how it went. So we're going to get into today's episode. I was fortunate to have somebody on the podcast that is no stranger. I've got Paula, my good friend Paula, as we discuss this episode. So sit back, relax, enjoy, and I hope this sparks meaningful and insightful conversations. Everybody, welcome. It is now season 4 of A Shot of Melanin, and on today's episode, we are just going to have a very lighthearted conversation. It's just more of a, just to get you your feet wet again. I was out on break, as a lot of you know. You know, I'm thoroughly enjoying my summer, and there's been a lot that has happened while I was on summer vacation, and I thought this would be a great episode to talk about. These topics, and I thought, why not have somebody very, very special on the podcast? But before we get into it, I need you guys to do me a favor as my listeners. I need you to subscribe to the channel, as well as leave your comments and reviews on platforms such as Apple Podcasts and Spotify. What that does is that it helps me get my content out to more listeners and hopefully on top charts. So do that, please, 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 as you are helping small podcasters like me get their podcast be seen. So today's episode, we've got Paula. Hi.
You. What is the saying this they say? You ain't new to this, you true to this?
I guess so. I don't know what the new lingos are.
I know that Paula had messaged me, and we were just talking about Nick Cannon, because that was one of the big things that happened while I was on break. And as we were talking about, I'm like, you know what, this would be a great podcast episode.
Mm-hmm.
So, Paula,
yes,
tell me more. How did we come to this?
Honestly,
what are we discussing?
Okay, so I think I had seen, you know, scrolling through Instagram. I don't know if it was The Shade Room. And then I'd seen he was on, like, baby number 10. And I was like, what? And like, I don't really read through comments. And I started reading through comments, and like, there's so many sides to the conversation. So I sent it to you and I was like, what is your thought? Right. And yeah, there's so many sides. I've had a few discussions with a few people,
And I'm not necessarily on complete left or complete right, saying that like it's completely wrong because everybody has the right to do whatever they or whatever feels comfortable for them in relationships. So, yes. And then I ended up listening to another podcast by Shan Boodram. Yes. Yeah. Lovers and
his,
Friends.
His girlfriend, the next baby mama or whatever.
Yes, she's currently pregnant. So then that changed my perspectives on certain things as well. So it made me more open and aware to different types of relationships that I had no idea even existed. So yeah, that was my stance. And then that's where the conversation
was discussed. Like, what did she say?
So she was explaining her relationship and defending her stance on what it is her relationship with Nick Cannon consists of. And people make it seem that she is the other woman. But in Hance, it's more like Nick Cannon has relationships with multiple women and they're all aware of these relationships. But it's just how much do you want to know? So it's they're not monogamous. Even with Nick Cannon, they're not monogamous with just Nick Cannon. Well, at least for her, she has open relationships, but in her pregnancy is monogamous to Nick Cannon. And I think this is her fourth child with him. It might be her third, because I think she had a miscarriage and then she had twins, and it might be like her third or fourth pregnancy. I'm not really sure on the numbers. But she doesn't see this as a long-term lifestyle. She does envision herself having a family with somebody else that already has children. She doesn't see herself as being in an open relationship forever. But she feels like if ever there's connections that formed with other people, she's open to it. And yeah, I think that's pretty much, she covered a lot of other things, but that was like the main parts of what I grasped out of it. And she tried to explain that like, her not being monogamous doesn't necessarily mean sexual. And I think that's a connotation that we present when we hear people or like Nick Cannon having multiple partners, you know, somebody, she may be attracted to somebody because, her soul connection ties to them about, I don't know, emotional fulfillment. Others, it might just be platonical and sexual. So there's different types of relationship and bond that she builds with people. And she wants us to get that mindset out of it that it's sexual. It's not always sexual.
See, the thing is, when people think that it's sexual, I feel like they're looking it through like a male's lens. Because if you really knew what a female was like, we're not just sexual.
Mm-hmm.
We are very emotional. So I feel like everybody looks at women like, oh, it's about sex. I mean, it could be if we were talking about Nick, if it was Nick in the hot seat having the discussion. But because she's saying it, I was less likely to, like, as you're explaining to me, I'm less likely to think it's sexual.
Yeah.
I was thinking that, you know, he obviously provides for her some mean financially because she's the mother of the kids.
Yes.
And he seems like he's that kind of stand-up kind of guy.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also thought, you know what it is? I think a lot of people also think sexual because I don't know if you remember this past summer. We're still in summer, but during this summer, or was it fall, his dick pic came out on Twitter.
He had a dick pic? Oh, I'm not on Twitter. Yeah. So I don't know.
I'm on Twitter. Okay. So I just remember it was the same day that they announced his ending of the show as well as miscarriage. So on that show, he announced his miscarriage.
Okay.
So he was trending that exact day because of his dick pic.
Wow.
So I can see why people are saying it's sexual, because after seeing the dick pic.
Yeah. But you see, I think the reason why it sparked like a little lightning bulb in my head is because, for example, if a woman has multiple baby daddies, she's seen as, we use vulgar words to describe her.
A shower.
You know what I mean? Exactly. you get the gist, you know? And so, but when a man does it, it's funny how nobody looked at Nick Cannon in a certain manner, but they were more like criticizing, from the comments I was reading, they were criticizing the women that put themselves in that position with Nick Cannon, which I didn't understand.
There's always going to be a lot of pressure on
women. Yeah.
And I think it's because the society that we have, I would say, I can't speak on all societies, but a lot of societies that are geared towards, there's a fancy word, a patriarchy.
Yes.
When you're growing up in a patriarchy, they're going to design the system, design the rules so that it benefits men and not women. Sure. And I'm sure there are some cultural countries that are more matriarchy, and they probably wouldn't even bat an eye if a woman has multiple men as partners. But for those that are governed on men being like the owner of the household, the runner of a country, then I would see why they would come towards women and say, oh, it's you.
Yeah.
And so because we live in North America, I'm not even surprised that they're all coming for her. But I will say lately, I think when he announced what his 11th, did they announce it like last week?
Wow.
10? I don't know. We're somewhere in the double digits right now. And now people are starting to like, Nick, are you sure this is a good idea? And
then
even saying this. At first it's like, woo, yeah, go Nick. And now it's like, that's a lot of kids.
Exactly. And one aspect that Chan brought up is sexually transmitted diseases. Right. And she asked, I forget what the girl's name is, the baby mama. Well, I don't like the connotation baby mama, like Nick Cannon's
child.
She was saying that, yes, she is protecting herself and she gets tested. And because Nick has lupus and all these, he's aware. But then I don't know how safe that is, because if none of them are monogamous to Nick Cannon and they're also having relationships outside, which is all known to them, I don't know. Yeah. That aspect kind of like touches me a little
bit.
That's
a good point.
Yeah. So I was just like, I don't know how safe. Yes, if you guys are practicing safe sex, you can be. But if these women are getting pregnant, then how safe are we really being?
And here's a little tidbit for a lot of people. And I do know I would love to do an episode in the future about sex and the stigma of STDs.
Mm-hmm.
But for things like herpes, you could carry that and never have an outbreak.
Exactly.
So, yes, you could do the best that you can to protect yourself. And because you don't have any signs or symptoms, you think you're good to go. The only time you could be tested, for example, with herpes, if you have an outbreak.
Exactly.
I have heard that you can do blood tests, but the blood tests are never accurate. So, I mean, I'm not too sure. And right now, in this modern day and age, they're kind of really trying to, remove the stigma on things like herpes and HIV AIDS, you know.
Yeah.
So, it's kind of like, yes, I understand that you're trying to be safe and you want to be able to experience other relationships, other connections. But, you know, you do have to keep in mind that these things are out there. And for some people, it's not so like clear that, you know, if I just make sure I wear a condom and you know, I'll not contract anything. So I don't know. That's a little bit of maybe ignorance, but a lot of people can be ignorant when it comes to sexual health.
Exactly.
So, I mean, I'm sure I had some ignorance when I was younger, that now that I'm a little bit older, I know better.
Mm-hmm.
I think my concern with Nick is he's one person to 10 kids.
Yeah. Like, don't get me wrong. I guess it's cultural, right? In my culture, where I'm from, men are not necessarily as involved in the rearing of children unless it comes to discipline. So if you look at it from that aspect, Nick would be like an ultimate hero, right? But at the same time, in a North American society where men are more involved in the rearing of their children, I find it very hard to grasp the concept of him being able to divide his time equally, especially since they don't live, they live like all across America. Like, you know,
they were all in the same state,
because the girl in Shan's interview said that they were dispersed. Like, they're not, like, it's a plane ride, you know, they're not all, you know, they don't all live in Chicago type situation. So it's still, you know, take some, but I'm like, that's a lot of pressure on him. Like, that's a lot. 11 kids. I don't know. That's, he must work a lot of jobs. Cause that's a lot of, what did it?
And so that's why he'll constantly be on a hustle.
Yeah.
Because he knows that he has mouths to feed.
Yeah.
So I think that's, yes, there's that concern. Like, I would say in a North American standard, there was the stigma that Black men are not there for their kids.
Exactly.
And I don't know. I'm worried because technically he is there, but he's not. He's there in a sense of he's there, he's present with said kid. But then if he's with one kid, the other kid he's not with.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, and like, for example, having, let's say, two kids in the same household. Fine.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you're not together, two kids in the same city, fine. But because they're dispersed, as you're mentioning, all over, like, how can you really give your time and energy, especially when they're young? This is the time where they're forming connections with their dad. For the most part, I'm going to say generally, connections are already formed with the mother and the children because of pregnancy.
Yeah.
So now dad needs to do the work to form those connections as well.
Sure.
I'm not too sure how strong or if he's able to form those connections, one. Two, I'm a little nervous because the thing with Hollywood is fickle.
Yeah, it's brutal.
Whether you're an actor, whether you're a singer, Hollywood is brutal. And one moment you could be hot, and the next moment, like, this is why we have, like, things like One Hit Wonder.
Yeah.
Where you don't know what happened. They were at the top of their food chain, and then they just disappeared.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's going to be the case for Nick, but that worries me because if you have all these mouths to feed and for whatever reason you don't get work, then what are you going to do?
Yeah. Well, luckily for him, he says that, the girl says she's very well, she works in the industry. So most of them are within the industry of some sort.
Got it.
So they do have something to fall on, but I do get your point, and it's a lot. It's a lot on him, and I don't know. I pray God gives him the ultimate strength to keep working and keep hustling to provide for these kids. Like, I would never want him to not have enough to provide for these kids, but at some point, it's like, it's a conversation. Like, am I bringing these kids into the world knowing that I can help them, or is it just I'm just bringing them into the world because I can make them, in a sense.
True.
So it's a touchy situation. It's a touchy subject, but hey, kudos to him. I mean, I know I couldn't do it.
But here's the thing. We couldn't do it because we don't have the help to do so.
Very good point. Touché.
We don't have nannies.
Nope.
We don't have cooks. We don't have cleaning people. Nope. I don't know what to call them. We don't have those things that would help us to basically just, you know, directly focus our attention on our kids and raising them.
Yeah.
Or not focusing on our kids and taking a break from our kids.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like going away. So lucky for them, these mothers of all these children, they have that. Mm-hmm. And one of them is Mariah Carey. Like,
She's good.
She's straight. She's straight. But the other moms, I don't know. And so if you said that they're in the industry, then okay, I that makes sense. And they have their own bit of money to fall back on. And so my question is, what is his logics behind having so many kids?
I don't know. I try to look for an interview. I've watched so many of his interviews, and there's no particular reason to why he's having so many kids. You know, there is this one guy in my country, I forget what his name is, Kubala or something like that. And his purpose, he adamantly admits that he wants to have children with women from each continent of the world. So there's that aspect. But for Nick Cannon, I don't really know if it's he just wants to populate the earth. I don't know.
Nick Cannon said, I'm going to populate every woman in the world. In every country.
So it's a different, story if he wants to what, like, you know, have children with different ethnic groups. But I could never
but
find
a coincidence. But then I'm wondering, why? If let's say it's a form of fetishization.
Maybe.
Then why?
I don't know.
And I'm always thinking about why people are the way they are. And I'm what was your childhood like? Because maybe I'm wondering if this is stemmed from childhood. Was it because your father wasn't around? And so you want to be around for all these kids, which physically we know is impossible.
Yeah.
I mean, it's possible to a degree, but impossible overall. You know, do you feel the need to meet some sort of childhood trauma or something? Because, you know, like even some men out here now, I was listening to The Breakfast Club and it was the rumor report and Anjali was like, oh, congratulations to Nick Cannon on his, I don't know what number it was, baby. And Charlamagne was like, another one?
Yeah.
And then Anjali was like, yeah. Another one. And apparently, I don't remember too clearly, but I feel as though she said, he's expecting another one. I was like, oh my God.
I don't know. It's a lot.
But then he did mention something that I found kind of funny. Charlamagne was like, Nick is not getting any more gifts from me. how many baby showers? No.
Yeah,
Nick,
no.
You're not getting anything else from me.
Yeah.
But, so I was like, that's a good point, because all these kids, they could all it's like hand me downs, fine, send it off to the next one and hand me down.
It really is. It's anyways, Nick Cannon.
Yeah, but you bring up a good point. There is a double standard in when it comes to, if you're talking in a patriarchal society here, if you have multiple women to one man, you're considered maybe quote unquote the man.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if you are one woman to multiple men, they think the men are simps or something to that degree. And so I'm wondering if now that narrative is somewhat changing in terms of multiple women to one man. Do you think that narrative is starting to change?
I don't know. I don't know. I feel like women are less judged, but we are still judged. Doesn't matter what we do. You know, I don't know. I don't even know if that answered the question, because that's such a complex question on its own.
But as you say that, when you say that they're judged, I think you're bringing up a good point, because a lot of people were looking at the women that Nick is with.
That's the thing.
And not
him. Which I find interesting. I don't get it. Yes, it's not something we hear of. These sister wives, it's always one man, multiple women. And if you do hear the rare case of a woman who has a boyfriend and this and that, everyone looks at her in such disgust. And I don't know if it's societal, if it's history, but there's so many factors that come into play as to why we judge women more than we would judge men. I don't know if it's because of the sexual reproduction, because a man, as a woman, you know who the baby daddy is. Wait, no.
Yeah.
But a man, no, it goes both ways, because you would know who you fathered. Unless a woman is being promiscuous, it's easier to track as a man who your children is than as a woman. If a woman is having sex with multiple men, it's harder to track than if a man is having sex with multiple women, because you're the receiver.
That's true. No, that's a good point. from my understanding of it, people would say the reason why, and you hear this from men more so, is that it's never good if a lock can, if one, how do they say, one key unlocks, multiple key unlocks one lock. That was the analogy behind it. Multiple keys unlocking one lock is not a good thing. But I feel like we're in a different
era,
time now, especially when you're seeing things like these different views in terms of relationships. What are the new terms now?
There's people call it
polyamorous.
Yes, I think that's what she classified her their relationship their,
as polyamorous.
Yeah, don't quote me on it. Maybe they might have just said it to say it, but even that, I don't even know what it is. Because there's open, polyamorous, monogamy, and there's another one.
Oh, I don't remember.
Where there's three of them? Three? Three is polyamorous.
Polyamorous, monogamy, and I can't remember what the
other one is. Anyways.
But if they are in a polyamorous relationship, then everything that happened makes sense.
Yeah,
I don't know too much about it. Definitely, maybe a topic I could, learn about, explore. Is polyamorous for me?
No.
Me currently, I would say no. But I think me back in my 20s, when I was dating, and maybe wanted to hold on to one, but see what else is out there. I would have probably been interested in a polyamorous relationship. So I'm not even mad at
her.
She probably like, I got Nick, but I kind of see want to see what else is out there.
I guess. I don't know. It never tickled my button. Now, back then, I didn't even know what these things were. But even now, I don't think it would be something I would want to.
That you'd want. No. So before you wouldn't want, and now you wouldn't want. Like, it would never be of interest.
No.
Are they still like? So he's messing around with all those women and maybe more.
Yeah, that's what she was
like
saying.
The baby mom?
Because that's what she was. At some point, she said how there's many others, like the ones that are pregnant as the ones that we know, or he's had babies with. And pregnant are the ones that we know of. She said that. And I was just like,
there's more.
And like she said, it's how much do you want to know about the other people, right? So, yeah. It's not just her.
So she knows that there's others.
Yeah, she's just not going to speak on that.
Of course.
She knows of four. It's a four or five that she knows of. But there's more than that.
Do you feel like some of them are doing it because it's a check?
Yes. I'm not going to lie to you. Yes. I feel like it's security for your children, right? Yeah. Because would I want to be with somebody that can't provide for me?
Right.
And my kids?
Right.
Right? It's that question. Are you marrying for money or are you marrying for love? Which is a really touchy subject that on its own. But yeah, sure. If I meet somebody that it clicks and I know he can provide for me, why not? Especially if I want children and I don't necessarily want the titles of marriage. Yeah, I think some of the women in there do it for that. Because especially like her in her case, where she says they were not monogamous. She was not only with Nick Cannon, she was with other men. Right?
Okay, so this isn't her first
role. No. Okay. So, I think some of them are in there for the check. I'm not going to lie.
But, they say women look for men who are financially stable. You know, that's one of the things. That's what they say. They say women are, the reason why women are gold diggers, and I use that very loosely, is that they're not necessarily gold diggers. They're just looking for somebody who can financially support them. Who can take care of them financially and their offspring. So
I mean, there's looking at what's going on in 2022, I don't think it's a bad idea. Like, I'm not going to say, I mean, anything could happen in life, but I would go for a man that I know that's hardworking and will do anything to provide than for somebody that just lives and works. And if whatever happens and they just can't provide, they just, yeah, whatever. I need somebody that's hardworking. It's.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
It's a very big thing for me.
Especially because of the society that we're living in. It's not like you could just sit down on your butt and do nothing, right? You need to... be able to provide for yourself. There's a lot of things that you need to do. Money's also, definitely at the top of the list, but you should also be able to take care of yourself. Mm-hmm. Take care of yourself means like clean, cook for yourself, you know? So I get that, that you need to have somebody that is financially stable, or if not stable, exceeding financially. Because nobody wants to be with somebody who is struggling, you know? Like, I don't want that struggle, love.
Oh, hell no.
So, just in closure on this particular topic, what would you tell Nick Cannon now? If Nick Cannon was listening to this episode, what would you tell him?
I would just tell him to go with whatever his heart desires. I'm not judging his lifestyle. I'm just questioning.
You're like concerned.
You know, because I work with kids. I work with kids and I see how certain things affect them, and we may not see it because we're on the outside, but you know, kids, these are our future. This is the future. Those are the next generations that are coming up, and it's important to like, set them on the right path. I'm not saying that he's not, but you know, just make sure that they're okay first. That's what's most important. You bring children into this world to take care of them and to ground them. And I hope that that's what he's doing first and foremost.
I agree. I definitely want, you know, the priority whenever you have kids is your kids. Your kids are a priority. So you just have to make sure that, yes, I understand that you have to provide for them emotionally. I mean, financially, but a lot of kids, you know, they don't care about the big Tonka trucks, or they really value time, quality time, and those are the things that they remember, those memories that they build with mom and dad. Those are what they really harp on. And so I guess I would say the world is concerned, Nick.
Yeah. Pretty much.
We're concerned, Nick.
Pretty much.
You know, stop having babies because, and you know, a part of me is kind of like, you know, if you decide to continue having kids, because I cannot tell Nick Cannon, because he probably will. I would try to like pause on the reproduction of
kids. There you go.
And maybe, you know, like think of adoption if you really need to have more kids. Because there are so many kids out there that need a stable home. And, you know, being that you're in such a great financial situation, if you decide you want to continue having kids, you know, you've already got 10 of your seats. You know, look into the forms of adoption. because I think that would really help, you know, a kid who's in need. And then my other things is make sure you have everything in order. Mm-hmm. Because one thing I've learned about death, that bitch will creep up on you.
Yeah.
You know, you're here 1 minute and then gone the next. You don't wake up to see the next. So make sure financially you're in order. I would assume that he has good people and he's in order.
I hope so.
You know, so that there's money flowing from his estate to his kids. You know, I would hope. When you're in that position of power, you assume that they have those things in order. But we've seen it one too many times where people were at the top, went bankrupt, and
there's nothing.
Don't have a lick to their name. Right? So definitely make sure you're in order. If you're going to have all these kids, make sure they're well taken care of. I would love to know what his parents think about all this. Like, God damn, they got another one.
How many grandchildren are you going to give me?
I was expecting one or two, not you know. 10. So, to my listeners who are listening, let us know what your thoughts are. Send us a message on our A Shot of Melanin page, which reminds me, you can now follow A Shot of Melanin on all of our social media platforms. You can follow us on Instagram, Twitter. We're also on TikTok. Yes, I had to create a TikTok account and do all of this. For all my ride or die hardcore listeners, we have merch. So why not represent your favorite podcast? Let the world know who you listen to. We've got Marginal. You can find that all that information in the description box below. Now, going into the next topic, I kind of wanted to talk about this because I thought it was going to be great. But I wanted to talk about the passing of the queen. And normally we have these kind of conversations about society on the daily wrap up because we're starting season 4. I thought something lighthearted. What do you think about the passing of the queen? How do you think the world is taking it? What are your prospects or thoughts about the media and how they're covering it?
You know, it's funny. I really, I couldn't, when I heard she died, I was like, huh? Okay. Again. But, I was like, I don't really believe the old lady's dead. I'm sure they have her somewhere.
Yo, like, I never thought she was gonna you know die, what I mean? Dude, honest to God. So I was like, what? I thought she found the fountain of immortality. Honest to God.
I really did. When she died, and it was because it was yesterday, her funeral, and I was watching it. I had my daughter, and you know, and I was telling her, like, my daughter, not that she really cares, she's about 5 months old, and I was like, wow, you know, like, this is as much as the whole monarch is such a controversial thing. It was, how do I explain it? I told my daughter, I'm like, you know what? This is a queen. You probably never get to see this in your lifetime, but once upon a time, there was a woman that was the most powerful woman, and we could say the world, you know, and not attributing it to her, but I'm like, I hope that you take this as like a lesson that you as a woman or as a girl growing up in this world, you can achieve anything. And don't look at it as just because a man is coming to take power. I looked at it on that aspect that she was once a woman in power. And it just gives us hope that like we are as equal to men. You know, we can reign over countries or that's the thing. Like it seems so like condescending thinking about it, but like I mean it was ironic because I mean they said that they had to do 12 days of mourning. Yes. And yada yada yada, there had to be no comedies, and like she like literally had her whole funeral planned out, and I'm like, you know, nobody's funeral is ever this extravagant. People die and just get buried and no one cares. And
nobody knows who they are.
You know what I mean? And she gets this like multi-million dollar funeral. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, yep. Why? Why? Ash to ash, dust to dust, we shall return. Why?
Literally. It's because of the status why? And the title and who she was. And that's why.
Yeah, you see, but that's the thing, like that's a whole rampage in my head. I have a little bit of ADHD, but I was just like, in a sense, like it was a positive thing for us girls seeing that there was a queen. But at the same time, I was like, meh.
But I would say it was positive, but it depended on what color
yeah.
you were. if you are a white person or Caucasian, then you would definitely look at the queen and go, oh, the queen. Hooray. Yeah. But as a black person or an indigenous person or an Asian person, I don't think we've ever thought that that could be us. And then a good example is when Meghan Merkel came in, we were like, yes, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. But then, you know, after the whole Oprah Winfrey special, we learned that, nope, not going to happen. Forget that.
Yeah, it's never going to happen. And even forget Meghan. Look at what happened to Diana.
Yeah.
What made us think that Meghan was ever?
I think there was hope, but I don't think people knew the system. Like, if you weren't British, you did not understand or did not know the system.
Yeah.
So I could understand why people would say maybe, because they're thinking, okay, kind of like how if you're American, we had a black president. So
yeah,
it's possible. Yeah. But if that's going on the basis that you weren't British, so you didn't know the system, whereas maybe British people were like, I don't know.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So my personal thoughts about it, I was with you thinking like, I never thought I would see the day where we lost Queen Elizabeth. I literally thought she found the fountain of immortality. Immortality. I was about to like tweet her like, hey, sis, share.
You know what I mean?
Because I'm trying to live till at least 100. And you know, she lived a good life. She lived till 96. So what I will say in a form of what I say with everybody who lives that long, you lived. You got to experience life. You know, you got to experience love. You got married. You had children. You watched your children have children and get married. And you lived around to see.
You have great grandchildren.
Exactly. You know, you got to live through the eras of pop culture. From the Beatles to Michael Jackson to Janet Jackson. Like, you've lived through the eras. And so all I could say is that she had a good run.
Yeah.
She had a good run. Now, when they announce the day of mourning, that's where you lost me. Sorry.
Yeah. No.
That's where you lost me.
I was like, so, what's up?
They said that it was going to be observed as Monday being yesterday. September 19th.
19th.
They were going to observe that as a day of mourning. I was like, well, you know what? You have every reason to want to mourn the loss of said person. And because we're Canadian, we have allegiance to the Queen. It's funny, in my research, I found out that when a permanent resident becomes a Canadian citizen, they have to basically like read this template
to the Queen. Yeah.
And one of the things is that they plead their alliance to the Queen. I have so many questions about that. Like, should we still be governed along a British system? Should we still have the Queen? And then the next question is, will the Queen remain on our money now that she's gone? Or will it be Prince Charles to take over? Like, there's so many things on about that, which I will park and discuss that on a different day. But then to say, like, I just found it very conflicting because in September, to have the mourning on the 19th, and then, 2 weeks later, have the mourning of Indigenous people, in which the Queen, again, I did my Googles. Googles is your friends, everybody.
Yeah.
She played a hand, Queen Elizabeth II, played a
hand. That I didn't know.
In okaying residential schools.
Okay, yeah. No, that's an X for me.
Exactly. So
no,
I don't know, man. I'm like, I can't. Yeah. And then, you know, her family and her lineage has benefit from so much. So
them diamonds, on that crown.
I heard. And now South Africans, not the politicians, South African as in the civilians, are demanding to have their diamonds brought back. But I had to do a little bit more digging about that, and apparently that was a gift from South Africa to the Queen. So I'm like, it's not like
it wasn't. So one, so somebody from the British colony, he found it. He sent South Africans. They found it, and then they had put it on sale. And it was for like a ridiculous amount of price, which is like how many thousands of years ago? Well, not thousands, but how many years ago? And nobody wanted to buy it. So he gifted it to
the queen,
whomever. And yeah, and then they divided it into nine. It's actually divided into nine different diamonds.
Oh.
Yeah. It's not like that one diamond is like a separate piece of nine. They broke it down.
Okay.
So I don't know where the rest of the diamonds are, but they're there.
But there's other things that apparently were stolen from the continent of Africa and that people would love to see them back. So whether they're artifacts
or whatever
the case may be. And so now the question is, will these countries see that? And it's not just Africa. I heard India as well. I didn't even know. So to me, it's kind of like, am I going to mourn? And it's so funny because I have a group chat with my family. I find this really odd. And I'm noticing this in my country. I would say the older heads. So I would say are very saddened by the loss of the queen.
Yeah. Boomer. Yeah, you're right. You're right, because my parents are boomers.
But millennials, Gen Zs, Gen X?
Couldn't care.
Couldn't care. I'm like, who do I get to talk to about my country's reparations? Because...
Girl, I think that's what the conversation we had. I was like, how? Where? Where do we sign? Because I deserve. Yeah. Because, yeah. That's a whole nother conversation. But yes.
But I was just basically saying, like, I'm not going to mourn something. And it's so funny. It was just the point I was trying to make was in the group chat. A lot of the boomers were like, oh, we're saddened for the queen. And I'm like, why? What has she done for you as a Jamaican? What has she done for you? If anything, all that country did was tea from your country, all the resources from Jamaica. So why would you even say, I'm sad? And it's so funny. My cousin put it so well in the chat. She's like, the conquered do not need to mourn the conqueror.
Yes.
And I was like, oh, girl, you give me goosebumps. Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
Why?
That speaks levels.
I the most I could do is I feel bad because, you know, a family's grieving. So if we remove the whole monarchy, the queen, that bit, death is never fun. And I will always say, I'm sorry for your loss.
Yes, that's very true. Like, honestly, like,
No. And yesterday, what was funny is that I was at the mall. I got some birthday money, guys. Last week was my birthday. I got some birthday money and I went shopping. See, look, the day that I should be mourning the queen, I went shopping. I went shopping and on the intercom, something comes over the intercom and they're like, it is now 1 p.m. Please have a moment of silence for the queen. Yo, it was like I was in Freestown. Everybody just stopped. And I'm like,
are you serious?
I'm like going through the racks of and I'm looking around like, oh, this is creepy. Now, I'm thinking this happened within the store. So I'm thinking the store, the people came on the intercom and was like.
It's the whole mall.
Yeah, in the store. No, it was the whole. So I get out of the store. It's the whole mall.
Wow.
I kept walking. And it's so funny because you saw it was just a reminder of like you can see the difference because a lot of people that stopped were white people. Everybody who did not were people of color, Asians, Indians, black people. Everybody kept walking, kept doing what they had to do.
Yeah.
So I know that a lot of British people are like, oh, you should respect the queen, respect the queen. Listen, I respect her as a being in terms of the title and the role that she played.
Yeah, but that's about it. I respect her as an individual. Like, I would never blaspheme her or never say anything.
No, I'm not saying, know. Like, God, but, screw the queen.
Yeah,
like,
no. Like, but I just... yeah. Just stay neutral.
That's it. You know, I have my reserves, and I can only express myself, and I'm like, you know, so... I'm not going to... I didn't mourn the queen. So
I just watched it for information purposes.
Like, I didn't even watch it. I think I was out that day and I totally forgot about it until the announcement on the intercom. So I'm just gonna park it on that topic in terms of that
Queen. R.I.P. We love you. Shout out, Queen. What's up?
You know, all I have to say is heaven must be lit right now because I'm sure there's a fight between Diana and the Queen.
Oh, yes.
And let me tell you, TikTok has not disappointed. TikTok and Twitter have not disappointed.
When I saw the memes, I was rolling. I couldn't.
Me too. I was dying. It was like Black Twitter had joined forces with Indian Twitter and Irish Twitter. It was hilarious.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna park it on that. I don't know what the future has in store for us now that Prince, well, we can't call him Prince anymore. He's King. So King Charles.
Oh, sure.
Wow. Yeah, we used to call him Prince and now he's King. So King Charles is now taking place. There's so many questions here in Canada. What does that mean for the future of us? And all we can really do is keep an eye on that. Like, for example, will we be removing the Queen off of our money? Will we be the King? Off of just, I mean, not just our bills, it's on our coins as well.
Yeah, right? She's everywhere.
Exactly. You know, do Canadians still feel the need that there should be loyalty towards the Queen and the monarch? So we'll stay tuned and see what happens. That could probably be something on our Instagram page that you might see, which reminds me, you should definitely follow our Instagram page. We are A Shot of Melanin on Instagram, ASOM_podcast on Twitter, and A Shot of Melanin on TikTok. We are also on Facebook at A Shot of Melanin. So our final topic will be about another big thing that happened while we were on break. If you guys remember season 2 of Love is Blind, so then you'd remember the two couples that came out of it, Ayana and Jarrett, and Danielle and Nick. And so I just kind of wanted to pick your mind, Paula, on that. As of this episode, last week, they had dropped the After the Altar episode. And
yes,
as you're aware of, it was announced on everywhere from the Shade Room to TMZ that all four couples have announced divorce.
So Paula, four of them?
All four.
Wow. Okay, I didn't know that. But anyways. honestly, I like being in relationships and now being married for like 4 years. I get it because it's a struggle. Oh, yeah. It is like even knowing somebody for a certain amount of years before you get married, there's still a struggle within your marriage. So getting to know somebody within like, I don't even know how long they had to know each other, like what, 3 months, and having to get married and learning about each other. I see where things could go wrong or why it ended, you know, but I was watching part of After the Altar, and there's a part where in the 80s part, well, sorry if you guys haven't watched it, but yeah, spoiler alert, where they're on the couch and it's just Jarrett and Ayana, and they're talking about is it something they should fight for or if it's not worth it? And it's like, I'm that person that will fight to the nitty gritty end until it's really not worth it anymore. Like, I will fight. I don't come from a divorced household. None of my aunts and uncles they fought. So I'm a fighter when it comes to marriage. I'm a hopeless lover. So do I judge them? No. It's what is done in today's society. Like, you know, it's like they don't fight. I think it's just easier to let things go. But watching it and watching Ayana, you can tell that they're still in love.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, they're still in love. It's just a circumstance of shit happening. And even when their parents met up, another spoiler, and there's one thing that Jared's father had said that really got to me, and I was like, yes. And I think he's a preacher, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, he's a pastor, yeah.
He said, you know what? People see you and they don't want you to be happy in what you have. Mm-hmm. So what are they going to do? They're going to pull you back. Mm-hmm. They're going to tell you, take that one more shot, right? So you get a little bit more drunk. And then you have to stay longer. And that's what it is.
Yeah.
In retrospect, it depends how spiritual you are. But I really do believe in that. I really don't think that his friends wanted him to prosper in this marriage or whoever it was that was watching them. So they pulled him back and they pulled him out of it without him consciously being aware of that situation. So I think that didn't help. You know, in a marriage or a relationship, it's two people. You should never really have other people within that system. 100%. So I think that didn't help them. Those are the only two couples I really followed. Was it Nick and
Danielle?
I didn't follow them. I thought she was a little crazy. I don't know. Crazy is a strong word. I found she was a little unbalanced. Mm-hmm. But I did think they were going to last. I'm not going to lie. I really thought most of the couples were going to last because season one, there's still two couples standing.
Yeah, both
two married couples then. Yeah,
Cameron and Lauren and Barnett and Amber.
Yes, so I really did think these couples would last. Does it make me sad? Yes, because you can see how much Jared and Ayanna love each other. They love each other.
And you know what upsetting was the comments online. The comments were. That relationship should have never happened. You were second.
What?
Yeah, there's a lot of comments. Like, she was the second woman. She wasn't even first. But I feel like people are discrediting the experience. This was the whole point of the experience.
Yeah.
And if you want to think about it, most people date multiple people. And then they choose, out of those multiple people,
who they want to be exclusive with. Who are you most suitable with?
So just look at it that way. But a lot of people were upset that she was considered the second one and she should have not even entertained it because she was second fiddle. And I was like, no, that's not how that works.
No. Even if she was second, it was her choice. She knew.
True.
Jared had told her. She was aware.
True.
You know? So.
It is what it is. In terms of my thoughts about it, I was also very bummed. I ignored everybody who said, well, she should have broke up with him anyways. They shouldn't have been together. I was kind of bummed because I really enjoyed watching them as a couple.
Yeah.
And I'm sure the whole world, like to us, they were the Lauren and Cameron of season two.
Yes. Yes.
And I loved them. Like, I was so like Jared and I, we both speak the same love language. Our love language is physical touch.
Physical touch.
Mm. And you can see how he was all over Ayanna. I was like, oh, I love that. You know? I love that for her. And I don't know, they just look so good together. And they seem to got each other's jokes. But, you know, obviously Love is Blind is going to show you the highs. They're never going to show you the lows. So I have to also be aware that they have their lows in their relationship. Now, was it worth fighting for? I think. Based on how small the issues are, and I'm not going to spoil that, I think it could have been worked on. And here's what I'm telling everybody. I think Ayanna liked marriage in theory, not in practice.
Yes, very true. And I think people forget how hard marriage is.
Some people don't even know.
Yeah. Dating the person while you're married. It's a literally a full-time job.
Yep.
To keep
working on it. But there is the flip side of the coin, right? It's the question of, well, how long is too long?
Yeah.
You know, how long do you fight for it until you lose yourself, you lose your sanity? So is either you let it go early or you let it go late. The only problem with letting it go late is that you've devoted years. Then you find yourself in a dating scene. You don't know how to date. You don't know how to start. You don't even know where to begin. Yeah. So it's just a question of when do you let go? You know, I'm all for, you know, doing the best that you can in a relationship, really working for it. But if you get to a point where you're like, I feel like I did the best that I could. Exactly. You've checked out. You feel like you've done the best that you can. That's usually probably your sign to let it go. So for me, it was like, well, it was either going to happen sooner or later.
Yeah.
And she just decided to have it ended sooner. I think, like I said, she likes the idea of marriage, but she didn't like the practicality of it. Like, mm-hmm. To put it in practice.
Practice.
Because for me, it's so much. Like, I thought he cheated or something.
Yeah. It's just because he was coming home late. You know, he's an introvert. He's an introvert. No, she's an introvert. He's an extrovert.
Yeah.
And like, it was a lot of personality clashes. She left.
And so that's her issue too. Her issue is that she's so quick to leave.
Yes.
You know, like, I think I remember listening because she has a podcast.
Oh, okay.
And so I was listening, you know, I had to do my homework. She had a podcast and she is used to being abandoned. Her mom abandoned her and she did that in the show. Her aunt, which is her mom's biological sister, kicked her out. So she's used to being abandoned. Mm-hmm. So in her mindset, it's like, well, let me abandon you before you abandon me.
Abandon me. That's true. I understand her, you know, but then that's when therapy comes in work, you know, and so like childhood trauma that you're bringing into your,
they are real. Okay.
Terrifying.
They are real. Childhood traumas are real. I'm dealing with my own childhood traumas and they are real. So if she has the awareness, I just hope that now that she's aware of it, that she's going to go to therapy for herself and heal those traumas. I didn't get to listen to Jared's interview, not in time.
No, I didn't.
When I listened to this episode, but there is, you know, me as an individual, I cannot be with somebody who is going to party 24/7.
If I'm partying with you, no problem. But like you by
not
yourself,
not like the amount that he was doing. He was doing from Thursday to Sunday.
Yeah, no, that's too much.
I could do once a week. I'm getting old now, eh?
You know? Them knees, they can't go low.
No, not anymore. I can't do that Megan Thee Stallion. No.
Yeah. Oh, no.
I cannot do those Megan Thee Stallion moves. You know, and I just don't have the energy. I have two kids. They burn me out by the end of the day. Maybe one, every Fridays I can do it, maybe. If not every other Friday, maybe.
Yeah.
Or once a month. Something along those lines. But the way he was going after work and he was partying. And I was like, you know, so I couldn't do that. And I think for me, I couldn't be with somebody who is all about the partying. Now, I don't know if it's partying per se is the issue, or maybe he has a drinking problem because they did say that it gets a little bit,
you know, out of hand.
Yeah. And then he did mention that he needs to be the life of the party.
Yeah, he did say that. And the party only starts when he gets there. I mean, like she said, he also wasn't mature, right? Enough.
Yeah. But I mean, she also came into it thinking that's what she wanted. And because I was listening again to one of her episodes, and she said, I don't think marriage is for me.
Okay. And then they should just date. Yeah, they can just be.
And that's why when we watched After the Altar, I was watching it with my partner and we came to the conclusion they're going to get back together. If yes, not in terms of a marriage, something.
Friends with benefits, something.
Something. Friends with benefits. Or they might be boyfriend and girlfriend and be forever common law. Or,
yeah.
I don't know. But we feel like there's going to be we're going to get back together. Maybe just right now, the season that they're in right now does not allow them to do so. Maybe they both need some healing. And maybe when they come back as a bit better versions of themselves, maybe they could relook at that. I was saddened that they broke up. Danielle and Nick didn't surprise me. Just because if you watched season 2, it was very tumultuous.
Yeah.
It was very rocky. So when they announced, I was like, okay, not surprised. Now, we don't know what their reason is, because if you watch the After the Altar, there's no inkling of an issue.
No.
You don't know what their reason for in terms of why are they divorcing. But I do know, like you said, I'm not married, but I am I've been in a 10-year relationship. You know, he's the father of my kids. And so I could sit here. I can't say, it's like we're married, because I know some of y'all married folks will come for me. So what I will say is I know how hard it is to be in a relationship with somebody. And then when you introduce kids, and then it's hard.
Yeah,
so I can't even be mad. Like, you know, at the end of the day, you have to do what makes you happy. And if they feel like they're better off apart, then I'm happy for them. And the way that they're ending this relationship, it's so nice. Like, there's no slander.
Yeah. All of them are mature on that part. And I like it.
Me too. It's a nice, it's a refresh. Because normally if you see breakups, like, for example, terrible example. What is an example? Kanye and Kim.
Oh, gosh.
Kanye went on a tangent about, these white people, Kim, blah, 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 but he has yet to hold himself accountable for choosing
to be with her.
Whereas, they both understand their faults in the relationship and, they're just like, you know what? I wish him the best. I wish her the best. They, give each other a good pat on the back and, they're on to their merry way.
Yeah.
I think that that is a great example to set for people moving forward in relationships. You don't have to hate the person. You don't need to slander them. You don't need to throw them under the bus. Just, wish them well.
Be cordial about it.
Wish them well. Move on. Even if the person's done you dirty. Listen, I had an ex that did me dirty. And I just said, I wish you well. And I pray you don't do the same things you did to me to to whoever you're with in the future.
And then that's it. You keep
going. And that's it. You keep it pushing. You keep it moving. There's more fish in the sea, So I think ultimately, I wish them the best. I don't know what the future has in store. Everyone's like, oh, will Jared go for Mallory? I hope not.
No.
I hope not.
It would not work.
No. I feel like I should have an episode about the Love is Blind after the altar and just have a discussion about it. But, Paula, any final thoughts on Jared, Ayana, Danielle, and Nick and or of marriage? Maybe you could give a little tidbit because you are married. What are some words of encouragement you can give to married folks out there?
Marriage is a beautiful thing. My husband probably killed me for doing this, but yesterday, I was just not in the mood. He called me FaceTime, farted on the phone, and that made my day, and it's stupid things like that that make marriage work. He's so gonna kill me for doing that, but that, and I'm just like, this is what love is, Yeah, you have to have fun. Choose your partner wisely because it's from depending on what your standpoint is, it's till death do you part, it's hard work. Keep dating. It's so important to keep dating, even after kids.
Especially after kids.
Because if you're not happy within your relationship with your significant other, it's going to be so hard to give that much love to your children. Even though, and that's the thing. People think they're like, oh, I need to take care of the kids. Yeah, but don't forget, you and that other person were there first. Before the kids ever came in the picture, Keep yourself sexy, ladies. Keep yourself sexy for the men. Man, do the same. Rub your woman's feet. Listen. Don't listen to reply. Listen to them. And a date night can be as simple as falling asleep on the couch after a movie, something. But I do believe that Ayana and Jared, it's not their final chapter. I still have hope in them. I'm a hopeless lover. I will admit it to the end of days.
Well, you're not the only one.
Yes. So
I'm sure there's more out there.
Yeah. So that's my little advice.
Thank you for being on today's episode.
Thank you.
Our first episode of season 4. You guys can go follow Paula if you like. Follow her. Paula, where can they follow you?
It's Paula_Amadou on Instagram. That's about all I have. Yeah, it's on the gram.
That's okay. You don't need anything else. It gets better. Yeah. So if you enjoyed today's episode, please don't be afraid to share this episode to people you've got. Maybe they'll enjoy it. Don't forget to follow us here at A Shot of Melanin on Instagram, as well as TikTok and ASOM on Twitter. And as I'd mentioned earlier, we've got merch, folks. So we've got t-shirts, we've got sweaters, we've got cups. Take a look at that. All details on our Instagram page. Paula, thank you again for being on the episode. And we will catch you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.